carried me when some carried their God. You feed me, Lord, when some feed their God. You fought for me when some fight for their God. Jesus, you know they use me for your name.
sleeping God.
Father, we are thankful for the wonderful privilege we have that you're God who cannot lie. You are true no matter what happens in our lives. Indeed, when things fall apart, it isn't because of you. Because, Lord, you are steadfast, unshakable. Your reputation can never be tarnished. Too many times is because we don't know what to do. We have not understood, we have not received. There are all kinds of reasons. That's why your word says, my people perish because of their lack of knowledge. But tonight we cry out to you, O God, that you will remember your covenant for us. And Lord, O God, that you will help us in our helpless estate. And Lord, O God, that you will cover for us and see us through every situation that we'll ever face. Be God in our lives. We confess, Lord, to you. Father, we believe. Help thou our unbeliefs. We trust. And when, Lord, O God, we are scared witless, be the God who upholds us with your right hand of righteousness. For in you we have fullness of life. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's good to see you this evening in the house of the Lord. If I were just one in the congregation, the best advice I'll give myself is that I don't miss any services. That's the best advice I'll give myself. Because missing a service is missing too much. You're missing too much. And when you miss that much, you slow down your speed of growth. Because pertinent information that you need to experience your breakthrough in life, you don't have it. It's like somebody walking and you don't have the right tools. And that's what it is when you miss the opportunity to be fed the word of God and you're not there to receive the tools that you need. You start trying to unscrew bolts with your table knife. Makes life difficult. You need the right tools. You might be able to unscrew the bolts with pliers, but there is the right tool that makes it easier. And when you miss services, you make things difficult for yourself. Now, you're here, so why am I telling you that? I just feel led by the Spirit of God to tell you that. Have an opportunity and seize it every time so that you can flourish in the goodness of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Having said that, if you miss the morning service, make sure you get that service, because that's a very foundational message. And if you miss that ingredient that we're dealing with this morning, You've missed too much. You know, we had a few years of COVID, right? And the net result, because people were not in school like they should be, we have kids that are three grades behind in their reading and in their math. If that happens in the natural, what do you think happens in the realm of the spirit? You're many grades behind. So you need to catch up. Some of you need to just be in every possible service because God brought you to this church to raise you up. Amen? This is not some anyhow church, some fun church where you don't know where your left hand is from your right. This is a place, a training camp, where you are trained in the Word of God and you're filled to the overflowing for a purpose. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, this evening, I want to continue what we said talking about this morning. This morning, we're talking about God in your heart. God in the heart. And we went at it from different angles on why your heart needs to be guarded. Now, this morning, I made a comment. I said, this evening, I'm going to deal with a particular aspect. And that aspect was the aspect where we talked about idle words. That is found in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36. I want to explore that with you tonight, because this that we're about to talk about tonight is so fundamentally connected to everything in your life and my life. You need this ingredient. It seems so benign, and it looks like God just went past it, but this is fundamental. Somebody say fundamental. Okay, this is maybe one of the most important things you can hear. So listen up. Hallelujah. What did I say? Listen. Listen. You know, my dad used to pull on his ear. He says, "Are you hearing me?" You know, we were speaking in our native language, Webio. Do you get? Are you hearing? So do that for yourself today. Say, are you hearing? Well, that's what the Lord just says. Let them who have ears hear. In Matthew 12 and verse 36, he says, "But I say unto you, but I say unto you." Now, if he says, "But I say unto you," he must have said something prior. So let's take it from verse 33. And there he tells us, he said, "Make the tree good. Make it good, or keep it good, and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt," which means it started out good, but it got corrupted. He says, "Or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit." It's not known by the tree. The tree is the tree. It's an orange tree. It's an apple tree. It is what it is. But it can reflect the true, authentic self that it is good, or it will come out diseased, corrupted. And he says, you have the responsibility to that. And that's not the responsibility of God. You do it. You determine whether the fruit of your life is going to be good or it's going to be corrupted. You make that decision. But how, Lord? By what's going to come out of your mouth? And we're going to explore that a little bit. Amen? That's why I left this aspect alone for tonight. Because it's too important to just brush over. And then he says, O generation of vipers. Vipers are poisonous snakes. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? So if you have an evil heart, you're not going to be able to speak good things. But how did your heart become evil? How do you become that being, present tense, continuous, evil? How did you become this one with an evil nature? By what you have embraced, because you did not protect your heart, and you have filled your heart with a lot of junk. And out of that junk, evil is spewing out. You've embraced hurts and you kept it. Disappointments and you kept it. Rejection and you kept it. All kinds of things that do not feed you and make you stand in that surely goodness. All things work together for my good. Because you have not stayed in that place of thanksgiving, no matter what's happening around you. Please hear me tonight. No matter what is happening around you, be thankful. You feel pain? Be thankful. Because if you don't feel pain, blood is not flowing in there. And that place is D-E-A-D, dead. And needs to be amputated. You're leprous. So the very fact that you felt pain tells you something. Because if you feel pain, you know when to pull away. Oh, that's a hot plate. Ooh, shouldn't touch that. But it does not mean that you don't work with hot things. Fire is needed. But fire out of control is destructive. But because fire destroys doesn't mean fire doesn't do good. Listen. Everything in this life has good embedded in it. Even the bee that stung you, it has good in it. It's meant to do something. The wind is meant to do something. But because the wind destroyed something, does not mean I say, Oh God, I don't want to see wind anymore. You dead goat. Wind is good. You can use wind to do a lot of things. Hello? You know, while people are complaining about, oh, there's a tornado coming, there are some people who are so excited, oh, there's going to be waves, and they go to the beach and start riding the big waves. Hey! They're having fun. From the bad thing, they find some good. Huh? Is that not true? Huh? Because a car killed somebody the other day doesn't mean the car is bad. And what we do many times is we look at the bad. This thing happened, it's bad. What about looking at the flip side of it and saying, where is the good in this bad thing that just happened? Let me give God thanks. Amen. Do you know how many things God has saved you from? You had a flat tire and you're busy kicking your car. Do you know if God just delivered you from an accident and you would have died? You're busy kicking, oh God, I'm late for that job. Maybe you needed to be late for that job, because that job is going to take you out of your destiny. Father, I don't understand, but I give you thanks. You're a good God, and you saw this before I got here. So Lord, I give you praise. I had a need. This church had a need, and I called out some people. But you know what? I was talking to the Lord. I said, I've gotten this far doing and trying to resolve this situation. Why didn't you take me all the way? He said, because I want to give my people an opportunity to sow and invest in that. I say, okay, but there's so many other things. An opportunity. Am I supposed to tell everybody? No. I have something on my mind. So I set aside whatever reasons I had. I just set it aside. I said, Lord, I'm just going to trust you. I'm just going to talk about this. And God, meet this need. Amen. I could look at that situation and see all the reasons why not. But God was looking at it and saying, there's good here because I have something I want to do with this. Okay. Who am I to stop God from doing what he wants to do with his people? God wants to engage you in your miracle. Amen? Let me say that again. God wants to engage you in your miracle. Word of God says, a good man out of the good treasure, based on what you have treasured in your heart, you will bring forth good things. And the word things there is synonymous to words. It is synonymous to the manifestation of things. The production of things. But God says, out of a good heart, you're going to manifest good things. However, an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. And then he says, but I say unto you, now that throws this whole thing off. Or does it? He says, but I say unto you that every idle word that a man shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Every idle word. Now let's look at the word idle from the English, and then we'll go into the language. Idle means something that's doing nothing. It's just there. Yeah? So we can talk about, oh, those people are idle, meaning they're doing nothing. Then we can talk about a car that is idling. Yeah? That means it's running, but it's not going anywhere. But while it's idling, it's burning gas. Are you with me? So you're occupying and burning energy without producing anything. But I say unto you that every idle word, the word is the word agos. Agos. And it means inactive. Every inactive word. But it also, the word agos means unemployed. Watch this. So God is saying, every unemployed word. Huh. That's interesting. Unemployed word. You mean the word needs to be employed? In other words, the word needs to be given an assignment. The word agos means the word can be translated lazy. Lazy. Meaning you shunning the responsibility of something that you need to be engaged in. So you'd say about a lazy person, they should be doing something, but they are not doing it. And you're thinking, Pastor, what are you talking about? What is this lazy word? What is this unemployed word? What is God saying here? Let me back up to this morning. I said to you, if you have nothing good to say, say something good. Always have something good to say. Now I want to explain to you really the bottom line. The fact is, child of God, you, when God created you, God breathed his word inside of you. You're full of words. The words that you are full of are the words of God. Let me say it again. The words that you are full of are the words of God. And the words that you are full of, which are the words of God, are God in your life. Come on. Are you staying with me? Because when God created everything, the Bible says that he created it with his words, but the Psalms tell us that that creation of God that he created with his words, the word of God says it was created by the breath of God. But then the word of God tells us that when God created you, God breathed into you. So if it is his words that created everything, but his words that created everything were his breath, when God breathed into you, he breathed his words into you. Are you with me? So God's word says, you either make those words good or you corrupt them. Could God possibly have said when he saw the earth, oh, this is a big mess? But is that what he said? No. He said something good. He commanded light to come out of darkness. Let there be light. Oh, God, This man is going to kill me. My children are going to kill me. Guess what you're going to do? You're going to die. You are prophesying your death. Oh, these useless kids. Guess what those kids are going to be? Useless. They're going to be bombs sitting everywhere doing nothing with their pants. You wear 34 waist, now you go buy a 26 waist that won't fit you. So where is it going to fit? Way down here. Like we want to see your behind. Can't even walk. Well, that's what is expected of you, and that's what has been spoken into your life, and that's exactly what you're going to live out. And so many people are fighting against words. Words that have been spoken. Words from parents, words from children, those words were activated. They were given an assignment. So it wasn't unemployed. They were just corrupt words. But there are so many people who say, well, I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to keep my mouth shut. Keeping your mouth shut is not what God wants. Because God allowed you to experience whatever it is you're experiencing, so that you can be a voice of change. So you can be a voice of transformation. Not to confirm the negative thing, but to speak life. The resurrection life. And turn not just your life, but somebody else's life around by speaking life. So I was just talking about that kid, whoever that kid is. So what should I say? This child has a future, and God will help him accomplish His divine purpose. You created in the image and the likeness of God, and you'll be a testimony to your generation. And with this, he'll sit behind a computer and start doing some stuff, and before you know it, he's changing his world. Because it's not how many tattoos that you have that will make you or break you. Look at the world that we're living in right now. In the 60s and 70s, especially 70s, we had a lot of people that we called hippies. Yeah? Guess where those so-called hippies are? A lot of them are CEOs. Huh? Oh, the world is coming to an end. The world is not coming to an end. Not until Jesus comes and deals with that. He says, occupy till I come. He didn't say, go about telling everybody the world is ending. We are all done. We're finished. We're kaput. Oh, the whole world is falling apart. He says, don't be doing that. And stop saying the harvest is way down the line. He said, no, don't say that. The harvest is now. It is white and ready. Oh, my city is so hard. He said, no, I didn't tell you that. Did I tell you that your city is hard? Well, with our own mouths, we confess all kinds of negativity. Oh, the witches, they are taking over. Who told you that? You just engaged in negative word, and now you just employed the words of your corruption into your city, into your family, into your country, into whatever. Meanwhile, God is saying, pray for your leaders. Oh, that leader, he's terrible. Oh, that Trudeau guy, oh. God knows whether Trudeau is good or bad. All he says is for you to pray for your leaders so that it will be well with you. But what do we as believers do? We engage in words that are not employed to go do any good thing. Guess what? The words of God, the good words of God inside of you will not engage with your negative conviction. But the devil will come and take your negative words and begin to do things in the earth. Idle words. It says you can give an account on the day of judgment for them. What are these idle words? They are slow words. They are unproductive words. They are barren words. Now let me go a little bit further. By saying to us that when a prophetic word is spoken, when you receive a prophetic word, a wholesome word, that from your mouth, that word needs to be engaged and sent on an assignment. Every word that you receive prophetically needs to be employed. What did I say? Needs to be employed. You know, give it a job to do. How do you give it a job? By saying, I receive, amen, the word that the Lord has spoken to me today, and I send it forth to accomplish that divine purpose for my life. You just employed it. It is no longer sitting down there, jobless. Now you just gave it a job. Go do what you were told and assigned to do. Guess what? That word, how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. Which means that the word of God has the faith that it needs in it. Amen. Hallelujah. And the very fact that you heard that word of God was so that you can give that word an assignment. Is somebody listening? Are we communicating? The word of God needs to be given an assignment. It does not automatically go. You, because the word of God says he will do nothing in the earth. God will do nothing except he first reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. And what does a prophet do? A prophet prophesies, foretells, and forth tells. Yeah? Foretelling and foretelling. That's what a prophet does. And God is giving us the key to that release. If you say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and do not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, you shall have what you say or keep on saying. But when you stand praying, forgive. Ah. In other words, don't have any bitterness. Don't poison your heart with unforgiveness. Speak out of the spirit of love, because faith worketh by what? Love. And you cannot love and be bitter at the same time. The Lord speaking through James, he says, one well cannot bring sweet water and bitter water at the same time. What is coming out of your mouth? Bitterness or the sweetness of the goodness of God? In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18. This is what Paul writing to Timothy says. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee. They went before on thee, that thou by them, these prophecies that went before on thee, might war a good warfare. So what was he supposed to do? Engage the prophetic word that he's received. And that prophetic word that he has received is what's going to fight for him. You say, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying, employ the words that God has spoken to you already, that he put inside of you already. Employ those words. What does that mean? That means I am not forever and forever asking, oh God, I need a husband. Oh God, I need a wife. Oh God, I need a car. Oh God, I need a house. The house is inside of you. Amen. The wife is in you. The husband is in you. The car is in you. And it has nothing to do with how much you have in your pocket. It has everything to do with the word of God in your mouth that has been employed and sent forth to bring about that which has gone before you. The prophetic word goes before you and is on you. So that which is before you and on you, your future and your present, come and kiss each other. Is somebody listening? Amen. These are keys of the kingdom. Keys. God, your word says, in blessing you will bless me, and in multiplying you will multiply me, and my seeds shall possess their possessions. Father, I thank you that I'm blessed beyond description. Oh, you started me from the blessing, and from one level of blessing to another. You are glorifying your name in my life. You've made me head and not tail, above only and not beneath. You birthed me from above, and that which came from above is above all. And every enemy is under my foot. In the mighty name of Jesus, I rest, O God, in your goodness. Surely your goodness and your mercy follow me all the days of my life. Oh, follow me now. Follow me, goodness. Follow me, mercy. Follow me. In the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, Father, I give you praise. Your faithfulness is demonstrated in my life. You've made me head and not tail, above only, never beneath. Far above all principalities, far above all powers, far above all rulers of the darkness, of the wickedness of this world. Father, I am far above, and I'm seated in Christ Jesus in heavenly places. Father, I give you praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Circumstances bow to the name of Jesus Christ. You spirit of poverty, you spirit of lack that's trying to attack me, I send the word of God against you now. You are bound by the word of God that says about me that I am prosperous. For I favor his righteous cause. Let them shout for joy. The favor of God's righteous cause. Let them say, and you prophesy. You send in the word of God to go ahead of you. God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants, of his children. I'm a child of the Most High God. God takes pleasure in my prosperity. I cannot do anything else but prosper. Hallelujah. I will succeed in my going out and in my coming in. Praise God. I praise you, Lord. I give you praise. And I thank you that the earth is yielding its increase to me. Now, in the name of Jesus, earth, yield your increase to me. I'm a worshiper. I'm a worshiper. God has located me because I worship him in spirit and in truth. What am I doing? I'm fighting. Hallelujah. I'm employing the word of God. I am not griping about my circumstance. I'm saying what I want to see happen in my life. But our attitude many times is that we don't engage the word of God. The word of God tells us that the angels of God give heed to the instruction of the word of God, not to my griping. It's not to my griping that they listen to. You can gripe and complain and cry all you want, and the angel of the Lord will not move. Will not move. Because he's still not employed. But when you send for the word of God, it's like engaging the gear, the transmission. And as you engage the transmission, your vehicle is no longer what? Idle. Ah, you got it. It's no longer idle. It's engaged. Because you gave the right word. You gave the right word. You know, the people of the world sometimes know these principles and they work on it, and they even in their own crazy way, they will say the things that I'm talking about right now. You know, I remember growing up and reading about Ali Baba and the 40 Thieves. How many of you read the book Ali Baba and the 40 Thieves? Yeah? You know, and the door only opens when it says, open what? Sesame. Sesame. Sesame sounds like saying same thing. And you confessing, saying the same thing. Remember, I taught you that years ago about how you break the stronghold of iniquity and how you receive everything God has for you. It is to do homologia, saying the same thing. I explained it to you. Like when you first get a credit card, you cannot just go and start using the credit card when you get started. You have to call in to the person or company or organization or institution that gave you that credit card and certify or validate that card. Then you can use it. True or not? That's how it goes. The same thing with the promises of God. The promises of God are there, but you cannot claim it until you confess it. Everybody on the planet is saved, as far as God is concerned. Jesus died for everybody. But you are not saved until you receive what he said by confessing that Jesus is the Lord of your life. And as soon as you do that, bang, what God planned for you becomes your reality. Yeah? Same thing, child of God. You've got to speak the prophetic word. Now, let me go a little bit on this. Now, you have to understand that the prophetic word, when it's spoken, puts in place a particular result for your life. So, for example, if the prophetic word said that you are called to be a doctor, that is God's assignment, the way God sees it, but you decide that you're not going to study medicine, you're going to study engineering, guess what's going to happen? You're going to be hanging around struggling for a long time because you're not where the assignment of the Lord is. Now, you may end up becoming that engineer and be frustrated, never happy. You have all the money and you thought this is what my life is supposed to be. Listen, if God said you're supposed to be a doctor, it doesn't matter how much you've spent to become an engineer. Switch. Or do this. Are you ready? Lord, I know I received a word that I'm supposed to be a doctor, a surgeon, or whatever, a dentist. But here I am. I forgot about the prophetic word. Or I don't like the sight of blood, so I decided to become an engineer. At least all I will see is some oil. That doesn't freak me out. But Lord, I repent. Forgive me for my error. Give me a fresh start. Have mercy on me. And God will make two decisions, two possible decisions. He'll say, you know, son, inbuilt in you is the capacity to do all of those things. But tell you what, you did engineering? Yes. Okay. I'm still going to connect you with medicine. Lord, how? I'm going to download into you right now, by my spirit, the capacity to use your engineering skills to do something that will help in the field of medicine. Are you with me? And God can just turn it around and still use you to accomplish what you are supposed to accomplish, another phase of it. Or God will take your stubborn self and get you started again, and he might just help you pay, give you scholarship or whatever, and you go through that process again, or speedify, and you accomplish whatever you need to accomplish quicker than other people are doing it. But you know, sometimes your prophetic word is the word that's standing against you. It's fighting you because you are not humble to follow through with what he said to you to do. Hallelujah. Are we together? We need to engage. In Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 12, so wrap up, this is important. Remember what we said, we need to engage the word of God, yes? Now on God's side, God says in his word, I will hasten my word to perform the prophetic declaration of your life. He says, I'll hasten it. I'll give speed to my word to bring about the performance of that word. So that's one thing God tells us he's going to do. I'm going to perform my word. Based on what? Based on what you have seen. But what did Jeremiah see? He saw an almond tree. Last week or sometime recently, I shared with you about the almond rod of Aaron that was put inside the tabernacle. That rod of Aaron budded, was fruitful, but it was not planted, and it was not in a place where light came in. It was in the Holy of Holies. It was there with other planting, other rods, but Aaron's rod, which was chosen, is the one that budded. Because God was saying, I have chosen him. And even though the environment, circumstantially, scientifically, horticulturally, did not say that it was supposed to be fruitful, it did. When you are in the will of God, God will surprise you. And you will produce in impossible situations. In the natural world, we talk about location, 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 location. That's the thing, location, location, location. But in God, It is not location, 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 location. It's about God. When John the Baptist was busy preaching the gospel or preaching about the Messiah, he was not in Jerusalem, was he? He was out in the wilderness, in the boonies. And people went to find him in the boonies. Is that not true? And he had one word. And he proclaimed that one word. And even Jesus came to him out there in the boonies. Hey, why it's you? You should be in Jerusalem. No, in the boonies. Why? Because that's where God wants me to be. Where God wants you to be is where the word of God is going to prosper for you. Amen? And understand that prosperity is not in God, it's not defined in terms of what we in the natural define as prosperity. In Luke 1:45, the word of God says, "And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." This is Elizabeth talking to Mary. There's going to be a performance of those things which the Lord said to you, Mary. God is going to perform. God is going to bring to pass. The word of God is going to be quickened, hastened to bring it to pass. Now, let me wrap the evening by making this one point. All we've said so far is that the Word of God needs to be engaged. Now, there is a supernatural way that God causes us to engage the Word of God that bypasses our natural mindset. Because sometimes, if you start prophesying or declaring what the Word of God says, you will hold your mouth and say, "Oops, I don't know that. What was that? Hey, stop being proud." Because what God is saying out of your mouth is so big. So how does God bypass the limitations of my natural mind? He gives me the Holy Spirit so that I can speak in something called tongues. And while you are speaking in tongues, you are engaging the Word of God that's inside of you. As you're speaking it, it's connecting, it's connecting, it's connecting, and things start moving faster than you can imagine. And then they start coming in. Because every word that you speak comes back to you. The word of God spoken shall not return back to him void, but will accomplish whatever it is that it was sent for. What God's word is inside of you, being launched out, comes back. It is the law of the Spirit. And by the way, if you missed it, get this point. Every word comes back. And therefore, when you speak corrupt words, The corrupt words do what? Come back. You think you're abusing somebody, you just abused yourself. You gossiping about somebody, you just gossiped about yourself. Because that's a seed that you sow, and you're going to have a harvest of it. So if you don't want it, don't engage it. That makes sense? Only engage what you want in your life. That's the only thing you need to send going. The point is, you've got words inside of you, words that are good, that have been spoken to you. Engage those words. Employ them. Let it be unto me according to thy what? Words. You receive a prophetic word from a man or woman of God. Let it be unto me according to thy word. That is your greatest declaration of amen. For Jesus, the word of God, is our amen. In the book of Revelation, is that what it says? Receive the word of the Lord. Be transformed by it. Engage the word of God. And let the trajectory of our lives align with the perfect will of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. No word of the enemy is allowed to prosper in your life. God says, I created the destroyer. He says, but I tell you what, that one that has the weaponry and the mindset to destroy, he said, it has no right to do anything against you, because no weapons fashioned against you shall prosper. Amen? It shall not prosper. He says, I tell you what, you have the right to do what? Condemn it. This is the heritage of the saints. So if you don't condemn it, guess what? It will prosper. So you need to condemn it. I do not receive that. That is not my portion. In the mighty name of Jesus, the shield of faith quenches every fiery dart. Lord, things that I know about, things that I don't know about, you are my shelter, my refuge. I hide in you. Oh, blessed Father, thank you, Lord, that you don't sleep, you don't slumber, but you give your beloved sleep. And as your beloved, I am not going to walk in vain. I am not going to watch in vain. I am not going to build in vain. I rest in your goodness, O God, knowing, O God, that you've got my back. I am covered. I am in the secret place of the Most High. I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Thank you, Lord. My mouth shall only speak good things. Good things. Hallelujah. I receive goodness. I proclaim goodness, wealth and riches are in the house of the righteous. And I thank you that you've given to me the gift of righteousness. Therefore, wealth and riches are in my house. Word of God, manifest it in my life. I come in agreement with the prophetic words of God concerning my life. I come in agreement with that now of God. For the future is now, the past is now, and all God requires of me is that which is past, which is now. And God, you already spoke my future in the past. Therefore now, I am moving in the blessing of your goodness. Somebody shout hallelujah. Rise with me. Father, let your word prosper in our lives. Be magnified, O Lord, by the manifestation of your words. Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. God who knows no impossibilities, we rest in your loving kindness. And Father, we ask now that anything that is found in us that wants to impede the progress of your word in our lives, let that thing be eradicated immediately. Our hearts are full of your joy, of your peace. Our hearts are full of you, for your throne is in our hearts, and you reign supremely. So, Father, let all the hurts, all the disappointments, all the rejections, all the confusion, all the shame, all the limitations, whatever they might be, whatever it is that is resisting your word, let it be uprooted, let it be eradicated. And this day, we say, Father, let your angels be dispatched now to pursue after those things that are enemies to our good success. And let your angels take the word of faith that you have released through our mouths today, proclamations done, and bring to pass speedily. For your word of covenant is go, multiply, replenish, subdue, take possession. And everything that you say we can do is done because your word has gone forth to do it for us. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, thank you, Lord, that it is so. Let it be unto us according to your word. For we rely not on our ability, but on all that you have ordained for our benefit, in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's put together in agreement said, yes, yes and yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. At this time, let us honor God with our giving. Tonight, I'm not going to tell you what this that I'm going to ask of you is for. Well, there is a need that I want us to attack vehemently. And I want to give you an opportunity tonight to give something extra and just say, for the need. That's all I want you to write. For the need. And as you obey God concerning that, those that are going to be responsible in doing the count, they will separate that amount for the need. And it will be applied appropriately. So give your regular tithe and offering, but there's a specific need that needs to be taken care of. And just write, for the need. Amen? And that suffices. And those that are online, I encourage you to do the same. May the Lord bless us and cause us to flourish in His goodness. Praise God. Now, on the 15th, that's this Friday, we are going to be starting special meetings here at the church, and I would like for every one of us to be engaged in that particular special meeting. There's the Rosh Hashanah meetings, or the Feast of Trumpets, but the Lord captioned it, "Remember me, Lord." And something is going to happen to every one of us. Amen? So 3 days of meetings. They're going to be at 6:30. Spread the word. Let others hear about it. Let others also be engaged in it. There is a video for these particular meetings, and I'll let them play the video. Praise the Lord. I encourage those that may be listening on YouTube or Facebook to subscribe to our YouTube page or Facebook, so that way when meetings are taking place, you can receive notification. That way in your time zone, whatever your time zone is, you'll be notified, and share. I encourage every one of you that have, I know you have friends and whatever else. Well, this is a wonderful opportunity to share the ministry of the Word of God. The things we talked about this evening, do you think other people need to hear it? Praise the Lord. Then share. If you love them, share it. You know, some of them will come online and listen, some may not, but at least you've done your part and you have shared. Amen? So let's, if every one of us are sharing, before you know it, there'll be thousands and millions of people that are logging in because they are coming and they are receiving the word that changes their lives forever. Amen? I don't have communion available to you this evening, but I have a deep sense in my spirit that we need to have communion. It's not something that we normally do. So before you leave tonight, especially those that are here, if you're at home, get your communion. I have some here. Could you help me distribute some of these? So it is all done much quickly. While we're doing that, bless the Minot family that are on Zoom tonight. The Lord bless you richly. God continue to minister to you and your family, and your household. And may His goodness be revealed in every area of your lives for His glory and honor. Amen. Did you give yours? You gave everything away? You got yours? Okay. All right. We'll need a refill up here later, not right now. Okay, rise with me. Thank you, ushers, for working so fast. And so that everyone receives. Father, as directed, we obey. Now, this table of covenant